Welcome to the worship from Daleville Christian Church. This Easter morning, the traditional greeting for the believers, Easter morning, is Christ is risen, and the response is He is risen indeed. We have an affirmation of our faith which explains a little more the meaning of this proclamation we make on Easter morning. This from 1 Timothy in the first chapter. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 28th chapter, just the first 7 verses. This is a report of that resurrection on that first day of the week, so long ago. Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It is Easter morning, the day of resurrection, the reason Christians worship on Sunday. And there is more. And that is our topic this morning, the more of Easter morning for you and me. John told us when Jesus came into the world that the light that enlightens all of us had come into the world. John 1, chapter 1, verse 9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." And the prophet Isaiah promised that even the Gentiles would see the light of God come. Matthew's gospel quoted Isaiah chapter 60, which chapter included the words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Matthew rightly saw that Isaiah proclaimed Jesus. You and I need no longer live in darkness. Surely we remember Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and all night until early Sunday morning when Jesus was in the tomb as the darkest moments in history. That is a believer's viewpoint. It's a believer's viewpoint because the light that had come to us in Jesus went away for 3 days. Isaiah stated that before Jesus, darkness covered the earth. Why? Because of the prince of darkness, Satan. Now, prince of darkness is not a Bible term, although Christians use the phrase by the time of St. Augustine. And we know the term from the great poem, Paradise Lost, by Milton. But let's review. The gospel writer Luke, he wrote two New Testament books, Luke and Acts. Luke tells us more about Jesus and Satan than any other books in the Bible. In my experience, when Americans talk about good and evil and Jesus and Satan, it is as if they are two opposite and equal forces. They are not. They are not equal forces. Here is why. Jesus is God, and Satan is an angel. Not the same thing. I am of a mind that American Christians give Satan way more credit for more things than Satan is due. I will say that over and over in the coming weeks. Seminary professor and author Susan Garrett reminds us that Luke is most concerned with the cosmic battle of Satan and Jesus. Luke is most concerned with the cosmic battle of Satan and Jesus. Luke is saying a lot of things in his books, lifting up several important points and reminders about Jesus. Luke, more than the other Gospels, writes more about the Holy Spirit, for example. Remember our Bible teaching. Satan does oppose the purposes of God. And Satan does so personally and with cleverness. Remember, Satan is a creature just as we are creatures. Angels are created beings. God is not created. God is creator. Jesus, we are reminded, as both God and human, was begotten, not created. Satan is a creature, and we read about him first and see him first in the Bible and in our world in the Garden of Eden. What does the book of Genesis say about the serpent? Genesis 3:1, the serpent was the most cunning. Other translations say that the serpent was crafty. And the Bible doesn't mean Hobby Lobby crafty. The serpent was the most subtle, sneakier, states one version. More clever than all other creatures. The shrewdest. So however you read that verse, Satan has a lot on the ball. And all other creatures, including humans, would do well to watch themselves around the serpent. Satan opposes the purposes of God, and the book of Genesis states the serpent was present on earth from day 8 onward. Returning to the gospel, Luke tells us that Satan entered Judas, Luke 23:3. As far as Luke is concerned, that explains why Judas told the authorities the information they needed, where they could find Jesus alone, away from crowds, in the dark. Believers know that Jesus died on Good Friday, and so somehow those words never seem to go together, Jesus' death and good. Really, the reason it's called Good Friday is simple as to why Good Friday is good, but to know that, we go back to Satan. The death of Jesus, that's what Satan wanted. That is why Satan entered into Judas, for Jesus to wind up on trial, convicted, and crucified. Satan wanted Jesus of Nazareth dead, thinking that God's purposes would be thrown over. With Jesus dead, God's plan for the world would be done, canceled. During this whole drama from Jesus' arrest, the devil thought he was winning. Yet, at that same time, it was Jesus who was winning. Simply put, Satan had souls in his dungeon of death. Satan had Jesus killed to add Jesus and all of God's plans for Jesus to his dungeon full of victims. Hebrews chapter 2 says that the devil holds the power of death. We'll come back to that idea. Satan holds the power of death, not any decision about the timing of our death, but the power of death. Satan did not know that it was the plan of God all along for Jesus to die. Jesus' death got Jesus into Satan's prison. But the book of Hebrews put it this way: since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus' human form has to die. Jesus' human form must be subjected to death and enter, as Jesus of Nazareth, into Satan's realm, the dead. Jesus has to join the sinners by being sent to Satan's prison of death for the sins of all the prisoners. Then Easter morning, Jesus left Satan's prison first and left the prison door open so that everyone else can leave. It isn't unlike the story of the Trojan horse. You know the story. The Trojan horse has to be brought into the city of Troy by the Trojans. Only from the inside the city of Troy can victory come to the Greeks. Good Friday is, so to speak, the day the Trojans brought the Trojan horse into the city. Jesus of Nazareth was subject to Satan with the power of death. 3 days later, Satan's city wall is opened from the inside. Death is defeated, and those who were subject to death are freed. That is why Friday is good. Everything was going according to God's plan, and Satan didn't even know it. Satan's celebration at Jesus' death was premature. And anyone sat on Good Friday may have forgotten Good Friday is the key that will open Satan's door from the inside. Soon after the darkest days of earth, the days that Jesus was in the tomb, we would no longer be in darkness, but we would be in light, the light of resurrection. The devil was fooled. The whole time Satan thought he was winning. Jesus was winning our freedom from Satan. It was dark, but the light would return. Jesus said that at his last Passover meal. John 14:28, you heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father. In one of our affirmations of faith, we proclaim, 1 Peter chapter 2, that Jesus called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do not read the report of our Lord's death and resurrection without recognizing that this horrible yet wonderful event of Jesus' death was for you. Because Jesus took your place and mine, and suffered the penalty we deserved, we may be saved by simply trusting in him and his saving work for us. One more thing I want to touch on this Easter morning, and it will be the theme in the coming weeks. In and with Jesus' resurrection, the power of Satan was broken. There are other ways to say that. One commentator states that Satan was defanged or declawed. Now, an animal without fangs and claws is still strong. It just doesn't have the tools to severely injure or kill. And even for the believer, Satan doesn't go away, and Satan is still wily and clever. But you and I don't have to stand there and listen to him. We have the power in Jesus to turn away, to fulfill God's plan for our lives. For any of you history buffs, one commentator states that Easter is not unlike D-Day of World War II, when the Allies landed on the shores of France. Once we got the beachhead, the German army was going to lose the war. The Battle of the Bulge would come 6 months later, and the Battle of the Bulge was the largest American-involved battle, and it hurt, and Americans died. But the Battle of the Bulge hurt the German army even more than it hurt the Allies. And the war was over 5 months later. Satan, the enemy of God's purposes, is capable of mounting an offensive against us. but Satan can't win the war. The win is certainly God's in Christ. God's complete victory is certain. God's complete victory is certain. It's just that the complete victory hasn't come yet for you and me. However, you and I don't have to live in darkness. The light has come to us. The light of God has come for us through Jesus. It's one reason the scripture for today was chosen. It mentions the light at Jesus' resurrection, like lightning. It mentions the light of heaven reflected in the clothes of the messengers of God. Some people use another military term with regard to our lives on earth. Satan was defeated, and now you and I are in charge of mop-up operations. There are pockets of resistance to God's will here on earth. There are those who are in darkness and under the clever influence of the evil one. In the coming weeks, we are going to hear from the front lines of those fights, and there is fighting. But the victory is surely Jesus's for you. Jesus, Messiah, Son of God, came to win for you and me. What does that mean in practical terms? You and I, by the Holy Spirit, can discern what God wants for us, and the Lord will help us reach that. We will be able to discern God's will. We will be able to be guided by the light of Christ. We can walk with Christ. We can walk by the light of Christ. And even more wonderful, the light of Christ reaches into our past, and even the bad things that happen to us, the Lord will attempt to get something good out of it. I can't say that the Lord will make all the bad stuff in your past worth your while, but the Lord can and is presently working to make your bad things worth someone's while, if not yours, someone else's. Your troubled past, it can help someone else. God is at work to make it happen. The Lord is working to make sure that the bad things bring about something good. That's the more of Easter that we celebrate. It's John's gospel proclamation in the first chapter. Verse 4, in him was life. In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome and shall never overcome the light of Christ. For us. Amen.